Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and Buck92.com. Welcome to Central Michigan's award-winning sports destination, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, winner of Best Podcast from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. This is your home for everything local, everything competitive, and everything that matters in Central Michigan sports. From Friday Night Lights to hardwood battles, from high school standouts to the stories behind the teams, you're getting the best sports coverage anywhere. Now, welcome to what many call the best sports show ever for Central Michigan high school athletes. All Things Sports with your host, JW, and Buck 92.3 Sports Director, Austin Shattuck. Let's dive in.
Hello, and welcome in to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, sponsored by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. Jeremy, last day of August, currently going on right now, August 31st. It's hard to believe, man, this month really flew by, but I'm glad it's over because football, well, it already happened. Week one is in the books at the high school level. Week zero is in the books at the college level, and week one is coming back this weekend, and then NFL is coming back in next week.
Yeah, the NFL gets a little break this week. They already put in too much work, so they got to take a week off. And I know it's because of Labor Day and all that, but hey, you know, good preseason for all the NFL teams. The only one that I can really see that's going to be like one to watch and one that's going to is going to be fun to watch, I think, is the Rams.
Yeah.
They just announced yesterday that Aaron Donald is coming back out of retirement, and they already traded for Myles Garrett. So that defensive line is just going to be ferocious.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. I mean, the Rams, as long as they can stay healthy, which I believe they will, they have a great team. I think they're NFC contenders, but they're a good team. So yeah. I will say that. So but
on the AFC side, who are you looking towards?
Well, NFC, like I said, Rams. AFC, it's tough to predict, but you know the Bills are always up there with Josh Allen. Bengals with Joe Burrow, as long as he stays healthy.
New England's kind of like a sleeper team,
you know,
because they were scary good last year. Mike Vrabel's first year at the helm.
They also had a weak schedule last year.
Yeah. So. No. I get that, but they played well. Still, you still got to play the games. You could have a weak schedule or tough schedule. You still got to play all the games.
Yeah.
But yeah, our team though, the Detroit Lions.
Yeah,
let's talk a little bit about them.
Yeah, they're a good team. They like you mentioned had just finished their preseason up, quality couple of games, not playing any starters. Well, actually, Jeremy, do you think we should get into the Lions before we talk about high school football, or do you think we should stay local with our teams first and then talk about the Lions? What do you think we should do?
Let's do high school. Let's do high school.
Yeah.
Let's give a recap of week one.
Yeah.
And go from there, and then we'll see how, you know, far in depth we get with the Lions, because we got a long season with the Lions. We got a long season with high school, you know, but that the high school season, it ends Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
And so we can talk a little high school, and you know, you had the first game that you covered, you and Eli covered, was Ithaca and Sacred Heart. Pretty lopsided contest.
Performance, yeah.
But I got to give it to Sacred Heart, you know, coming back second year out of 11-man football. And, you know, they just, I don't know, it'll take time to get them rolling. But I think they'll get back into it, just like any other sport that they're in. They're always pretty good, so.
Well, especially losing your quarterback from last year due to injury and Nate Seiler. He didn't come back this year. It's Jackson Moore as the quarterback. And what I watched on Thursday night is Sacred Heart's offense is a little one-dimensional. It's a lot of run plays with Jackson Moore under center and a lot of bunch formation. And then that Ithaca defensive line, man, Brogan Bupp, Carson Schenkel. I mean, that defensive line was it was hard to get through.
Yeah.
And the offensive line for Sacred Heart just could not move those bodies. And Levi Lynch just had Maxim Lynch – all the Sacred Heart running backs had a hard time of kind of finding those holes and maneuvering through the field. And then, of course, Jackson Moore, he didn't have quite the arm that I guess was expected of him. I mean, that'll get stronger as the season goes on. And
well, he's
as
only
he
a
ages
sophomore, too.
Too
so, yeah. I mean, you got to give him a break. He's a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he played last year.
He did, yeah. He came in for Nate Seiler. He played probably 5 or 6 games for the injured Nate Seiler. But on the other side, man, Ithaca, they played like a well-oiled machine. Gibson, yeah, Rondi, they... 15 for 16, only one incompletion as a high school senior.
Yeah. He's a great kid, too. I've talked to him quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And just a great kid, likes to, you know, very humble. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, like you said, Ithaca, well-oiled machine. They haven't changed pretty much anything from the transition from, you know, Terry Hesbrook as the head coach to his nephew, Jordan Hesbrook. There hasn't been much of a change in the whole program. It's because Jordan was part of the staff and everything, and he just got promoted to head coach, and it's just, they just keep rolling.
Yeah, it sounds like that team for Ithaca, if I'm correct with this, it relies on their offensive scheme. I mean, yeah, they put up numbers every game. So 48 points, 48-6 final score. Ithaca dominated that game. 4 total touchdowns from Rondi. Harper Merchant, who missed all of last year with an injury, had 2 touchdowns. And like I said, Jackson Moore just had a hard time moving the ball with that Irish offense. But
another game that Thursday night was Shepherd and Elma. And,
yeah.
And Shepherd being...
they stunned Elma.
Yeah, 20-6.
On the road.
Yeah. And so they could be scary good around this area, too.
First-year head coach with Coach Russell. Obviously, he's been with the program the last couple of years with Coach Angel. But, I mean, Angel moved on. It's Russell's team now, the offensive line. They graduated Braddock Payne last year, but they retooled. I think the offensive line... it'll be cool because we get to see Shepherd for the first time with their home opener this Thursday night at 7 p.m. when they host Ortonville Brandon. But
that'll be,
man,
a good game, too.
It will, yeah. Any time an Isabella County team plays a team from down near the Flint area, it's always a good game, especially non-conference. But Mason Eisenberger, the quarterback for the Blue Jays, 6 for 8 for 103 yards on Thursday night. Ty Burns and Alex Evans combined for 44 rushes and 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. Those touchdowns came from Alex Evans. So the running back room is deep. The offensive line room is deep for the Blue Jays, and that's gonna really what's gonna, you know, propel this offense is the offensive line.
Yeah, they're gonna be scary good.
Mm-hmm.
When they get into the Jack Pine Conference after Ortonville Brandon, then Friday we had some games Friday night. Mm-hmm. St. Louis beat Sault Ste. Marie 24-6. Breckenridge beat Bad Axe 35-8. Beaverton beat Everett 20-12. And then our friends over there at Beale City was a big shocker, 33-7 against Ravana. And those games, I've always looked, those games are always really close.
Yeah.
Between Ravana and Beale City. And they just, Beale City just rolled them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Beale City is going to be scary good again this year, too.
You were saying that sarcastically, correct? Because Beale City, Ravenna, like you said, they're always a good matchup. But I you said shocker. I didn't think it was a shocker. I knew Beale City was going to kind of
roll over. Did Ravenna lose a bunch of players last year?
But Beale City just got more experienced with a lot of seniors. I mean, you look at that offensive crew, you got 2 quarterbacks that could hypothetically start on any team in Grady Gatrell, who was a sophomore, and Kyler Smith as a senior. I mean, Avery Small, Braxton Bukovich, Eric Elias, like I mentioned, Grady Gatrell and Kyler Smith, all tremendous athletes, and they proved it on that field in the bright lights down in Big Rapids at Ferris State. So,
yeah, that'd be pretty cool for them to play up there at Ferris State and you know, play, you know, not as cool as what Mount Pleasant got to play, but but Beale City playing up there at Ferris, that'd be pretty cool.
Well, going back to that Beale City game, Kyler, it sounded like he had a phenomenal game. He threw for 250, almost 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, and it was a good performance by that Aggies team. Drew Gross, who, by the way, we will be talking with Coach Gross in the second half of this show. Drew Gross, Coach's son, had 8 tackles in the defense. They wouldn't let Ravenna drive. I mean, Ravenna had the ball, from what I was told, for most of that game. It's just that the offense for the Beale City Aggies scored
just quick, yeah.
Up and down the field, it was long passing plays, long running plays, and just a lot of athletes, and everybody loves their Beale City football. So they're a powerhouse in Division 8, and I see them kind of having a great season, maybe even undefeated. Don't want to put a number on them yet, but off of 1 week, but man, oh man, that Highland Conference is always wide open, and I think Beale City could go pretty far with the athletes and the quarterbacks that they have. But you mentioned Friday night, Clare. We'll finish with them as well. They destroyed Whitehall 48-22 at home, and they were down surprisingly heading into halftime. But Clare had a ton of unanswered points against Whitehall, and they were led by their senior quarterback, Dane Alexander, and their senior running back, Mason Heintz. Sounded like they had a straight field day at the Brookwood Athletic Complex last Friday night, and they deserved that win to go out with that win, 48-22. Final game of the week, Mount Pleasant hosting Saginaw Heritage at the Big House. It was an unbelievable experience. And 23-13 win for the Oilers.
Yeah, and you and Eli did a great job down there broadcasting that, and it had to be pretty cool.
Oh yeah,
sitting
it
up
was
there in the press box at the Big House, and you know,
it wasn't as high as Ford Field though last year, so that helped, because last year it was hard to see all those players and the jersey numbers, but this year it wasn't that high, maybe two stories up.
Yeah,
and it didn't matter. I mean, Xavier Crazier was on his game again.
First drive, 95 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, and when he kind of ripped the Band-Aid right off, he did end up having a little bit of an injury at the end, walking off with crutches. But Mount Pleasant has two good quarterbacks as well, with Xavier Crazier, and Freddie Mackinnon, who also threw a touchdown in that game to Torrey Gagne Jr. And then Gagne, what an impressive story for him. Missed all of last year in his junior season, coming back from a serious injury in basketball season, and then, you know, seeing his first game as a senior at the varsity level last week. It was amazing to see him get in the end zone, and a feel-good story for him. But he scored a touchdown. Adrian Castellan ran it in, who kind of plays both defense and offense as the linebacker-running back duo. And just a good win for Coach Mack and the Oilers. Looking forward to see what they do coming up for their next home game at Community Memorial Stadium this Friday night, or Thursday night, I should say, against Saginaw United. By the way, we will be there tailgating that game.
Yep.
Like I mentioned, I'll be down in Shepherd calling the game, but we will be tailgating that game with Charlie and DJ, and hopefully we can get somebody else on there as well. And don't want to say who that is. But that wraps up high school football for week one. It was pretty good. Four of our five teams got the win.
Yeah, and I could see there's going to be some great football all season long in the high school level around this area between Gratiot County, Isabella County, and Clare County. It's going to be a fun high school season to follow along.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to it. Thursday night, we're back in the booth at Shepherd High School, Ortonville, Brandon, and Shepherd for Coach Russell's home opener with the Jays. Looking forward to that game. And we're also looking forward to the Lions season. I mean, you mentioned earlier, we'll kind of transition back to them. 53-man roster came out last night, and a little surprises here and there. But, I mean, other than that, Dan Campbell really kind of laid out this team in preseason. And speaking of preseason, none of the starters really got to see any of the field.
No.
Which, were you happy with that decision? Or
I am, because you look at some of the other teams around the league, and, like, but it's not so much the preseason games that people have been getting hurt. It's practice.
Yeah.
Like, I seen the one time I seen Jamar Chase, he almost hyperextended his knee. He went up for a catch and come down, landed funny, and almost hyperextended his knee. And so it's not so much games that are getting hurt. It's at practice as well. So I'm kind of good with not playing during the preseason. We'll see how it happens. You know, the first game of the season, we'll see what happens, because, you know, Goff and Gibbs and St. Brown and Williams, all those guys didn't play. But we'll see what happens come week one.
Yeah, hopefully they're prepared for a New Orleans Saints defense or offense, if you're considering talking about the Lions defense or offense. On that week one game, it'll be after Labor Day, Sunday football. And I'm looking forward to just sitting in the couch watching, you know, 8 hours of football on Sunday for week one.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. But you want to go through the roster real quick?
Yeah, I mean, we'll start with the quarterbacks. Jared Goff, obviously a no-doubt decision with QB1 position. Josh Dobbs retakes QB2 over Luke Altmaier, the rookie, which I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I think Altmaier might end up on the practice squad, which I think sometime today they release practice squad players and all that. They'll you know, say who's all going to the practice squad, but running backs.
Yeah.
Of course, we know who the running backs are going to be. We got Gibbs. Pacheco,
Sione Vaki.
Yeah, and then the surprise one that I seen that they kept was Jacob Sailors. Yeah, he ran pretty well, though, during the preseason.
Yeah, he did. He played, and he made the most of his opportunities. He played all three games. He was that main running back one for Luke Altmyer and Josh Dobbs in the preseason, and he made the most of his opportunities, and I could see him probably as a kick returner.
Yeah, he's a hard runner, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think Pacheco's still out, too, for some soreness or something, and so... but then they also kept Jabari Small as well at running back.
Yeah, those two guys could probably be kick returners. But wide receivers, St. Brown, J-Mo, Tesla, and then the wide receiver room kind of falls off. You got Tay Martin, and that's about it. I mean, they cut a couple of receivers, Tom Kennedy. To the practice squad. But the receiving room, it's small. You got to stay healthy if you're those top three, J-Mo, Tesla, St. Brown.
Yeah,
you gotta stay healthy.
Can't get banged up, or it's gonna be a long season.
Yeah, because without weapons for Goff, is it bad?
Yeah,
and of course for the tight ends too, you got Sam Laporta and Brock Wright, but Laporta's been dealing with a back injury all last year, and in the off season he's been dealing with something too. So,
and then you got Jackson Meeks as well.
Yeah. Ooh, by the way, they kept over a CMU graduate in Tyler Conklin.
Yeah.
Sad news, but I mean. You were mentioning off air, he might be retiring soon.
He might. He's been in the league quite a while.
We'll see.
You know, but he started out at Saginaw Valley,
mm-hmm.
and then he transferred to Central, and so.
Yeah. But, no, that's the offense. Do we want to run through the defense or no?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the offensive line, the big boys up front that are going to hopefully protect Goff and not let him get hurt. The one that I'm surprised is they moved Penny Swell over to left tackle.
Yeah, I think that was his natural position coming out of college.
Yeah.
He started with the Lions at right tackle. That's because Taylor Decker was at left tackle. But, you know, you lose Taylor Decker, you need that left tackle position to protect Goff's blindside.
Yeah, and he's so good.
He is.
He's so good. So I'm good with him there. And then you got Christian Mahogany and Juice Scruggs, Tate Rettledge, Blake Miller, and then you got a bunch of backups. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, defense. Let's go defense side of the ball.
Well, the biggest thing for the defensive line, or the defense, is the defensive line. It's Aiden Hutchinson, and then you got a rookie who missed all of last year because of an injury, Ahmed Hassian. Glad he's back. Derek Moore, as long as he stays healthy.
Man, and then he's out right now with a leg injury
that he
picked up over the preseason. So, but, man, he's good, too.
The opposite side, Michigan boys there.
Yeah, Hutch and Moore. And so it'll be fun to watch those guys play when they come back.
Yeah. And then I think at the linebacker position, that's the biggest upgrade from the offseason, is just the linebacker crew. You got Jack Campbell, who's returning, got that extension. Derek Barnes, Malcolm Rodriguez, Devin White, who is the Alex Anzalone replacement. And that's it. But Jimmy Rolder as well, forgot about him. He's going to be a good draft pick that hopefully pans out. And we're looking forward to see what that linebacker crew can do.
The back end of the defense, though, is what's going to be a little bit scary, is because you got DJ Reed, Ennis Rexhaw, Keith Abney, and so, you know, our two big defensive backs are out right now.
Yeah.
It's going to be the D line is going to have to get after them to help out the back end.
Well, and also, too, in today's game of football, the quarterbacks are so mobile, and they can get the ball out so quick that the defensive line, it has a lot of pressure. And a lot of receivers, especially in the NFC North, you got Vikings, Packers, Bears, those, and even in the NFL, those receivers can really get open quick because their 40-yard dashes are quick, and they can the quarterbacks can get the ball to them, so... It's going to be rough. It's going to be just like kind of last year where the cornerbacks were soft, playing soft coverage. It'd be interesting to see what Kelvin Shepard does in his second year with the Lions. Third year with the Lions. No, second, I believe. Either way, he's coming back for another year as a defensive coordinator, and it'll be interesting to see what he does with his defense. But that's the initial 53-man roster for the offense and the defense. Kind of wanted to go through some positional upgrades while we have the time, at least with a couple of the positional groups. The safeties we'll start with, downgrade, no doubt, with no Kirby Joseph and no Brian Branch.
Well, that and then Arnold making the bonehead move and getting in trouble, but now I guess he's not in trouble. Or I don't know. I don't know. The NFL's kind of goofy on how they figure all that out, but in a way, do you bring him? You know, I know he signed with the Seahawks.
Seahawks, yeah. Seattle.
So I mean, would you have brought him back though? After you found out that he's,
Wouldn't have.
No, I wouldn't have either.
Don't want that drama. No. I mean, you mentioned that all the time with I think the Tigers. You don't want all the drama, and you don't want those players that bring the drama to them. So
yeah.
Glad we kind of lost him. Hopefully he doesn't pan out
yeah.
in Seattle, but he might.
Seattle's just still scary good, too.
Yeah.
You know, after winning the Super Bowl last year. And
that NFC West, man. Yeah. Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals, and I'm drawing a blank on the other team. But either way, the NFC West is loaded this year. And I don't know why we can't think of the other team.
Arizona.
Seattle.
The Rams.
I'm looking this up right now. NFC West teams. San Francisco. Jeez, yeah. One of the best teams there too. Yeah. So they're scary good. All four.
Well, Arizona would be the odd man out because the Rams are good, the 49ers are good, and the Seahawks are good.
Yeah.
All three of them teams could easily win the NFC.
Yeah.
Arizona is retooling. They just got rid of Murray and they've, you know, so they're going to be the down. I could see they finishing last in the NFC West, but
probably,
but
because it's competitive.
Yeah. I mean, you got three teams right there between the 49ers, the Seahawks and the Rams that easily could be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what, I mean, long season ahead, but I it'll be tough to get past that D line for the Rams, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And speaking of D-line, we'll go back to the Lions' positional upgrades. I think the defensive line was a clear upgrade this season with Aleem coming back, Hutch, Derek Moore. All of those guys can really get to the ball with the quarterback or the running back, and you have some elite pass rushers too. So I think that was an upgrade. Running back room, I think, probably stays the same. You lose Montgomery, but you get Isaiah Pacheco. Wide receivers, you know, after
not
those
very deep.
No, it's not deep. That's why I say that. After those three receivers, it drops down. So.
Yeah, because you got Tay Martin, and I'm not too sure about him.
So,
but St. Brown and Williams and
Tesla.
That's a good crew there.
Yeah, it is. As long as they stay healthy.
Yeah, if they don't stay healthy, we're going to be in big trouble.
Mm-hmm. But those were my positional upgrades. Excuse me. I guess we can go one more with linebackers. You lose Anzalone, but you get Jimmy Rolder.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Jimmy Rolder pan out, at least play a couple of weeks before I say, hey, that's a downgrade or an upgrade. So I'll stay neutral with that. And
I liked Anzalone, though.
Yeah, Goldilocks, man. Yeah. I loved him.
He was a great, you know, and he just fit in with everybody.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't really cause any trouble on the field because he didn't. He was probably the best linebacker on the team, but Jack Campbell came along.
Yeah, Jack's solid too.
He's great. He's a typical Dan Campbell type of man, but
Iowa guy.
Oh yeah, those Iowa linebackers, big boys.
Iowa linebackers and tight ends. That's you need a tight end or a linebacker, go to Iowa.
Yeah, Midwest right there. Yeah. But no, Lions, they start their season with the New Orleans Saints coming up after Labor Day weekend, and high school football is in full force right now, which is why we're kind of finishing our four-part series with talking to Isabella County football coaches. So we talked with Coach Mack, we talked with Coach Spranger and Russell. Now we're going to be talking with Coach Gross next. He's going to be coming up on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show to preview all things Beale City Aggie football, and that's coming up next on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. Sponsored by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe. Working together for our future.
Stay right there. More local sports talk is coming up as the Buck 92.3 Sports Show continues. Right here on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com.
With traditions and belief deeply rooted into cultural history, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe is proud to present one of our seven grandfather teachings in what it means to be a Chippewa. Humility. To live with humility is to recognize that we are all equal. We all make mistakes. We all like to have our success rewarded and to put others before ourselves. This message and what it means to be a Chippewa is brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
With the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, Central Michigan's award-winning sports coverage, with sports director Austin Shattuck and JW. Let's get back to it.
Welcome back into the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. Back with you for part two of the show, Austin Shattuck and Jeremy Wood, as always. And this week's special guest is kind of a monumental one. We're wrapping up our four-part series of talking to some Isabella County football coaches in the area. And we're ending with Division 8 football, Beale City, Coach Brad Gross. Coach Gross, I know the season's coming up. Off-season just ended. How's the team looking? How was the off-season for you guys?
Well, I think the off-season been really good for us. We've got a lot of seniors this year. I think we got like 17 seniors. And we got a lot of returners from the last couple of years. I think we have six guys that have – this will be their third year in a row starting. So it's nice to have some of that continuity. And again, we have a lot of seniors that are looking to step up into some roles that they were in to take over some of those roles from the guys that graduated last year. So it should be a fun year.
Yeah, and that's good to hear that you got some versatility and some veteran status. Like you mentioned, a couple of seniors coming back. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But before we kind of get rolling with this, I want to get some background information on you as a person, not only as a coach as well. But you're a Beale City alum from the 90s, a multi-sport athlete, and now a coach for your alma mater. What kind of sparked your passion for being around Beale City football?
Well, I was fortunate enough to play with a lot of good football players. And the tradition in Beale City is unlike any other, in my opinion. I mean, you know, guys have asked you what it's like on Friday nights. Like, to me, there's just nothing like the small-town Beale City lights. So the passion that you see in guys do it before you, the tradition, and you just fall in love with it. And I guess that's basically what I've done, is I've kind of fallen in love with that.
And that's good to hear because, like you said, coming back to your alma mater, you're part of the 1994 Aggie Wall of Fame for football, of course. So what does it mean to you personally to be recognized like that?
Oh, it's very special because there's a lot of really good football players that I've looked up to on there, a lot of really good athletes. So it's a special feeling to actually be on there.
Who are some of the athletes on the Aggie Wall of Fame?
I mean, there's guys like Todd Schaefer. Todd was a multi-sport athlete as well. You can go all the way back to... my dad was on there, and now my son was on there last year, so I think we might be one of the only father-son, grandson deals on the wall up there, the All-State Wall. But there's too many to name, I guess.
Yeah.
But those two would probably be the top two for me. See, I have a couple uncles on there, you know, so just to see the tradition all the way down is pretty special.
A family affair.
Yep, it could be a family affair, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's cool to kind of see like the Gross family tradition with, like you said, started with your father and now you, of course, and then your son as well. But transitioning to a little bit of football talk now, two of the last five seasons, you and your boys have spent the latter half of November at Ford Field, specifically most recently. What made your 2024 squad so special as you took home the Division 8 state championship?
Well, that squad, the thing about that squad was I think the kids gelled really well together. They had a great group of seniors that took in a bunch of younger kids. And I was talking about those younger kids that were playing, you know, coming back for their third year in a row. The older kids really took and accepted those younger kids and made the team a team. So I think that was one of the biggest things that looking back on it, that was huge for that team, is everybody played as a team, but you know, sometimes the older guys might not accept the younger guys, but those seniors did a really good job of doing that.
That's cool to hear now that obviously those older players are coming back for their senior year as well for the 26th season. But fast forward a year later from that 24 season to last season, the 25 season, you and your squad went undefeated in Highland Conference play. What were some highlighting moments from last year's season that you took away? I mean, from week one against Ravenna to all the way up until, of course, the loss to Harbor Beach.
Yeah, I mean, we started rolling pretty well. I mean, we got against good Ravenna team, which is always a great week one win. But I think one of the best feelings was the McBain game. We lost to them the year before when we thought we should have beat them. We kind of avenged that loss a little bit. So, you know, that game was really, really special, I think, for last year's team. And then the Ithaca game Ithaca just has this awesome stadium. We played them down there for the first time in week nine. Played really, really well. I think we peaked right there at that game. We were playing about as best football as we could. You know, and then we went into the playoffs playing really good football and just eventually lost to the Harbor Beach team that won the state title, you know. And we were right in that game. Just a few things didn't go our way. And when you lose to the eventual state champion, you really can't can't really be too disappointed about that.
I was just looking through your season last year. You guys did not give up double-digit points until the district round against Saginaw Novell, and you beat them 41-13. And then, like you said, the following week, you lost to Harbor Beach 26-15. Can you tell me how many of the defensive starters are going to be coming back from that last year's defense? And like I said, you guys were just mowing people over all the way until the regionals against Harbor Beach.
Yeah, well, we'll return nine guys that started out of the 11, or probably eight. One would have been a starter, but he got hurt. So he was a starter, and we flipped some guys around, and then he just didn't start. So eight or nine guys coming back from that defense. Some of those old guys will tweak a little few spots, but we'll have nine really experienced guys coming back from that defense.
That's going to be pretty solid for your guys' team this year.
It's very good going into the year. You feel a little comfortable knowing that you got, you know, a bunch of guys that have got a lot of reps back there.
Yeah, and like I said, you didn't give up double-digit points until the district round against Saginaw, a good Saginaw Novell team.
Yeah, they're going to be another team that's going to be, you know, back in it again. I wouldn't be shocked if we've seen them again somewhere along the road. So,
yeah, Jeremy mentioned defense. I guess I'll flip it to the offensive side of the ball. Last year, you guys, your offense was clicking, scoring 35-plus points in every game minus week one against Ravenna. Why was your offense, and specifically Kyler Smith, able to move the ball so well?
Well, I think like we just had a bunch of good athletes that it didn't matter who got the ball. You know, and we had some experience there with Braxton Bukovich in the backfield. He ran in for over 1,000 yards last year and a bunch of touchdowns. And then we had a bunch of complimentary guys to go along with it. Garrison Zucker and Drake Gatrell were the two seniors that stick out right in my mind. You know, just really good athletes. So it wasn't just one guy that teams had to key on. I think it was a fact that we had a lot of different guys that could take the ball and do a lot of good things with it. So it made us really tough to defend.
Yeah, that certainly is tough to defend. Like I mentioned, 35-plus points per game minus week one against Ravenna. But you mentioned a while back in a separate interview, and I think you mentioned it in this interview as well, that it's kind of tradition for the Aggies to make the playoffs. Game one, starting the playoffs on Halloween night last year, going up against an Isabella County foe in the Sacred Heart Irish, who are eventually returning to 11-man football. What was your mindset kind of heading into district round game number one and the playoffs?
Well, our mindset always is just take care of that week. I mean, you can never just think, you don't want to look on to the next team, look on to the next team. You got to take care of that week because you never know who's going to be, you know, you never know what's going to happen. It could be one of them nights where you have two or three fumbles or, you know, you try not to have those, obviously, or the penalties don't go your way or the ball doesn't bounce your way. You just want to make sure you're focused on a week-to-week thing and don't worry about looking ahead. And, you know, we ran into Sacred Heart, who was very, very, very young, and we were a little more experienced. So, you know, we I don't remember exactly what the score was, but we got out pretty quick on them and took care of business there. But our focus that week one was, yeah, we should beat Sacred Heart, but at the same time, we better be ready and take care of business right away.
Yeah, final score to that game was 49-7 against Sacred Heart. I got it up here on my computer. But like you said, they were young. They were dealing with a couple of different quarterbacks throughout the season. Nate Seiler got injured for the Irish, and then Jackson Moore, who is coming back this year for the Irish, had to take over as a freshman quarterback.
That's really hard to do as a freshman quarterback to come into it from a team that was undefeated. And, you know, that's a really tough. Yeah, I think he did a really good job of managing the ship in that game. You got to give him props for sure.
Yeah, you certainly do. And hopefully he can have an even better sophomore year as the quarterback for the Irish this year. But transitioning back to some talk about your squad, last year, like I said, won a third straight district title, first in the Highland Conference, beating McBain, like you mentioned earlier. How can you take that momentum from last year and bring it into this year with a senior quarterback?
Well, we just have to get better. We got to just keep, you know, keep ascending upwards. We got to make sure that we're keep trying to get better at every little part of the game and every part of our offense and defense. And, you know, and there's going to be ups and downs. There always is. You just got to navigate those ups and downs, and keep ascending upward. And as long as you do things right in practice, the games will take care of themselves.
Certainly will. Talking about leading up to this season, off season obviously just wrapped up when we're recording this interview. What was the offseason like for you and your Aggies? I know there was a couple of 7-on-7s, a lot of weight training. What was it like for you and your boys?
Well, we don't do a ton of 7-on-7s, but we had 3 7-on-7s that we did. We see a lot of good competition there. Saw a lot of good things, a lot of things to work on, trying to put some different guys in different spots just because we want to make sure we have our depth taken care of. especially, you know, at the quarterback position. You know, we got Kyler returning, but you got to make sure you have a backup taken care of there. Grady Gatrell hopefully will step in and do a really good job there. And then defensively, we, you know, we have some Garrison Zucker will be a tough fill as far as defensive back. He was such a lockdown corner type guy. So we got to make sure we find a guy to make sure we take care of that. And, you know, Drake Gatrell was there as well, playing linebacker. So we got some guys to move around. Just got to keep ascending in the right direction. And, you know, as long as we practice and take care of those things, it'll take care of itself.
Hang tight. We'll be right back on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
The best sports show in Central Michigan, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show on Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and streaming at buck92.com, continues next in just minutes.
With traditions and belief deeply rooted into cultural history, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe is proud to present one of our seven grandfather teachings in what it means to be a Chippewa. Wisdom. To live with wisdom is to acquire and use experiences as guides for making equitable and mature decisions. This message and what it means to be a Chippewa is brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
Welcome back to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, streaming on Buck 92.3 and buck92.com. Hosted by sports director Austin Shattuck and JW, let's dive back into Central Michigan sports. Yes!
As promised, here's more of the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. And looking ahead to this season, the 26th season, week one, you're opening up against Ravenna again, but it's technically listed as the home game, but it's not at Aggie Field or Frank A. Schaefer Field, but it's at Ferris State University. What are you looking forward to for week one against Ravenna at Ferris State?
Well, there's a couple things. It was, you know, we knew our field probably wasn't going to be quite ready, so we were trying to find somewhere between them and us that we could play at a neutral site. And you know, the defending Division II Division II national champions. It's a sweet atmosphere to play there. And then Ravenna has a new coach, so there's some different things that are going to happen there. They got a really experienced head coach, used to be at Muskegon Catholic Central, won a few state titles there. Steve Schwerzon's there, so they got a new whole look there. And Ravenna's been really, really good the last few years. And, you know, last year it was only, 14 to 2 or 14 to 3 or something like that.
15 to 2,
yeah. So, I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't like we blew them out and they were right in the game. I remember we held them a couple times early and late. We held them on our own 3-yard line from getting in the end zone. So a couple holes go different. Could have been a whole different ball game. So we better be ready.
Yeah. Coach, besides the Ravenna game, what other games are you looking forward to this upcoming season?
Our first four games are going to be really tough, obviously, with Ravenna. But Matton is a much-improved team. They went up to the Division 7 state champs, Menominee, and, you know, played them really tough for a half up in the UP. So, you know, they're much-improved. Their coach has been doing a really good job with those kids. They've been lifting really hard. McBain's going to be always good. I mean, they're always huge. I have a bunch of good athletes. They're going to be really good. So those games will be there. And then looking at that Ithaca game week 9, that's always a sweet, you know, a really awesome program that those guys do down there. Coach Hesbrook's got, you know, great tradition down there just like we do. So those games kind of stick out to you, obviously. But like I said, you can't overlook anybody. You got to go week to week.
Yep, I agree with you there.
Yeah, Coach Gross, you mentioned obviously about the new field coming in. It's going to be all grass. It's pretty much set in shape for you guys this season. What was the process kind of like leading up to build that new field?
Well, the process for it was difficult last year, I know for sure, because we didn't have our practice field. They did our practice field last year. So we're a little spoiled this year. Our practice field is 100%, so we're all go with a practice field. That's really nice. You don't realize how nice it is. We've had a practice field in the past years. Last year, they had to tear it up for the new construction and all that good stuff, so we were kind of practicing on some different grass that wasn't normal, but our kids did a good job of adapting to it. And now this year we're a little spoiled leading up to it. Like, you know, we got our practice fields in really great shape. We got I would say one of the best practice fields in Division 8 as far as I'm concerned. And then, you know, the field's taking shape. It's not going to be 100% obviously this year, but it's taking shape, and we got a really good new locker room and all that good stuff, which is really nice. So
the big thing is
it's coming.
yeah, the big thing about the main football field is they got the drainage problem fixed.
Yeah, the drainage is fixed. There was a few spots that were, you know, settling is why they did it. So, you know, that hopefully, you know, once they get there, obviously some things to work out, and once they get that stuff worked out, should be good to go.
Coach Gross, hopefully the field continues to improve throughout the season. We're looking forward to what you guys can do on the gridiron this season, and we're looking forward to another Aggie football season with a senior quarterback and a good defense coming back. So, Coach Gross, good luck with the season coming up, and we're looking forward to getting down to Beale City to call some of your games this year.
All right. We appreciate it, and thank you, guys.
Yep. Thanks for coming on the show.
You've been listening to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, your award-winning home for Central Michigan sports coverage. Thanks for joining JW and Sports Director Austin Shattuck as we break down the games, the players, and the stories that make local sports special.
Missed part of the show? No problem. You can listen to this show and past shows at MyMichiganPodcast.com. Just click on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.
Join us every Monday evening at 7 right here on Buck 92.3, where country legends live. And streaming worldwide at buck92.com for the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.